In the name of the one true living God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, He made us and made all things visible and invisible. He upholds us in all things by the word of His power. Grace, mercy, and peace from Him who was, who is, and who is to come, the triumphant Savior King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, this is our seventh message on the book of Revelation. Today's brief message, Christ is the center of scriptures, creation, and history. It is the will of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that we receive His word with believing hearts and be edified in Christ. Let us give attention to the hearing of God's word. After this, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I'll show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, and around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments, with golden crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder, and before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within, and day and night they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who is seated on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are You, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they existed and were created." Let us pray. Almighty, holy, triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank You that You have not left us lost in the terrible and deadly consequences of our rebellion against Your holy will. We thank You for Your life-giving word. How wonderful the way it leads us to feed on Christ and build us up in Him. We pray that He and He alone would be exalted, and that we may be built up by the power of Your Holy Spirit as Your word leads us to be edified by Christ's grace. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we continue and conclude our consideration of the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation. Let us keep in mind that It is all about God's people's victory and sufferings in fellowship with King Jesus. Here is the key to understanding the whole book, again, from Revelation 12, verse 11. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. The text of Revelation 12, verse 11 is key to understanding the whole book. Let us also remember that the book has two parts. The relatively short part is composed of the first three chapters and is about the things that are. The second part includes the rest of the 19 chapters, and it is about that which was yet to be after what is. In the first part, Christ is in the midst of the candlesticks or lampstands, which are the churches. The rest of the book is about Christ's centrality in all things, visible and invisible, past, present, and future. So, overall, the book is about Christ at the center of all things for the universal congregation of the redeemed, the church, his beloved body, which he purchased by his precious blood. Some are already in heaven, others are still on earth, the rest are yet to be. The angels of the seven churches, or the spiritual leaders of the seven churches, were well acquainted with the Old Testament visionary symbols the Holy Spirit adopted and used in the book of Revelation. Some are direct quotes or paraphrases from Old Testament passages. Others are indirect. They are many, mostly from the book of Psalms and the major and minor prophets, especially Ezekiel, Daniel, and Zechariah. This awareness of the Old Testament imageries in the book of Revelation is rarely noticed by Bible commentators and preachers. The vital fact is that those Old Testament symbols and images pointed to Christ, the true Messiah of God who was to come. The book of Revelation makes the necessary application for the comfort and edification of God's people. Missing this vital application causes so much wrong teaching in the area of eschatology or the teaching on the last things. This is the main reason most Christians either shy away from the book or get confused by ideas of teachers who wrongly present it as referring to specific events and movements in history, such as communism and the re-establishment of an earthly Jewish nation. The book is not about a series of chronological events coming one after the other in human history. The book is about the triumph of King Jesus and the advance of his kingdom despite the opposition of the forces of darkness and evil inspired by Satan and his allies. Such forces are at work in the world and inflict sufferings on God's people, but fail to thwart the advance of the gospel and the gathering of the redeemed from among all human races. What the Holy Spirit clearly teaches us makes things clear. We read in Ephesians 2:20 that God's people, both Jews and Gentiles, are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. In our chapter 4 of Revelation, Jesus himself opens the door to heaven for John. He is indeed the one and only means for entrance to heaven. John is invited to see absolute beauty, might, wisdom, holiness, glory, majesty, and grace on the throne of Jesus, King of Kings, fully God and fully man. He is eternally surrounded by worshipers, not only on earth but also in heaven. The 24 elders represented the totality of God's people, past, present, and future. They are declared to be purified in white robes by the cleansing blood of the Lamb, who is also their enthroned high priest. They are all made kings and priests of God under the King of Kings. The thundering divine voice in heaven, along with the lightning and rumbling, announces Christ's sovereign power and rule to the entire expanse of creation, visible and invisible, represented by a crystal lake. The entirety of creation, in depth, height, length, and width, has one focus. It bears testimony to the majesty of the enthroned Lamb of God, the Redeemer of God's people from all nations. The four creatures, full of life and energy, represent all created beings from all four corners of the earth and of heaven. They all, with open and sleepless eyes, ceaselessly and with full vigor and diligence, unite in worship to Him who is holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was, is, and is to come. The gospel makes it also very clear that these same words Isaiah uttered when he saw the glory of Christ, even hundreds of years before his incarnation. In Isaiah 6, it refers to Jehovah himself. This affirms beyond a shadow of doubt that Jesus is no less than Jehovah in the flesh, the blessed Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity. Eternal praise is His and His alone. The response of His universal congregation in worship is Amen. Yes, the Amen of the 24 elders declares that the Savior of God's people alone deserves the royal heavenly crown. Their own crowns are laid at His feet. Brothers and sisters, the main role of the church on earth as in heaven is Christ's worship, not to entertain itself by great programs and loud programs of music and man-centered words glorifying man and man's achievement. The purpose and role of the church is to announce the glory of Christ. Christ is not only the Redeemer of His people, but also the Creator of all things. All existence was, is, and will always be guided and preserved at His will. The song of Isaiah 6, Holy, 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 challenges the fallenness of man's thinking and understanding. Sinful man cannot appreciate or perceive the mystery of the God of creation, the God of providence, who condescended to join our humanity to uplift us from depravity and free us from our bondage to corruption of mind, heart, and soul. Man's corrupted, finite mind cannot comprehend, let alone desire to contemplate on the immense wonder of the Creator's wisdom and power. It's not possible for man and his science to ascertain how the Almighty, Holy God plans, designs, and instantaneously brings into existence, beyond time and space, that which seems to require millions and even trillions of years. Yes, beyond the space and resources of angels and humans alike. The Old Testament scriptures spared no image in speaking of the majesty of the Creator and in illustrating man's inability to conceive of the sufficiency of God's initiative to create out of fallen humanity a new humanity shaped after himself, yes, incarnate in a new Adam. It is in Christ that all is restorable to the image and likeness of the Creator in knowledge and in holiness. Yes, and all comes to a climax in the person of perfectly holy and glorious Messiah of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the life-giving, who offers the perfect meaning of divine law as the loving, self-giving Lord of all. The second part of the 19th Psalm speaks of this. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and the drippings of the honeycomb. Yes, in Christ and in Him alone, we are to receive the righteousness acceptable to the Holy Almighty Creator. This is the song of all creation and of the true Israel of God, the full congregation, Jews and Gentiles, the beautified bride of Christ, the Christ of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen. Hallelujah. The grace of the Savior King, the Messiah of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the full blessing of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, abide with God's people in all nations throughout the whole earth. Amen.